people came in and worked 1 hour. The Lord is showing that in the kingdom of heaven, there's no merit system. That is, the more you do, the more you get, and the higher prestige you have. You know, the disciples one time, they were arguing as they went along. What were they arguing about? Who shall be the greatest in the kingdom? Now, that was what was on their mind. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the highest in the kingdom of heaven? And the Lord knew what they'd been arguing about along the way. And when they got to him, he said, little child in the midst of them. And he says, except ye be converted and become as this little child, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. He takes a little child and he sets that child as an example before them. And he says, except you have a change of mind, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about eternal life. He's not talking about heaven itself, but he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about right now. Somebody says, I believe there's only one salvation. Well, I don't. I believe there's more than one. There's only one Savior, but there's more than one phase of deliverance. Every child of God will receive heaven and will live in heaven because of what Jesus has done by the purpose and the plan of God and the work of God in their behalf. There's nobody going to receive heaven or labor to get into heaven by what they've done. That's for the kingdom of heaven right here in this world, the kingdom that God has set up. Nobody's going to merit heaven. And at the same time, the attitude of all of us in the church is, we are just but poor, unworthy sinners. All of us. We didn't earn the church. When I joined the church, it had been there for many, many years in that spot. I didn't add one thing to the church when I joined. But I wanted to be received into the house of God, among the people of God, because I felt I needed a place for my soul, for my life, to live and to labor, that God had called me out of the walks of life to live and labor in His kingdom and to be obedient until my dying hour here in this world. To live and labor in the kingdom of God is a blessing that God has given to us that we would take advantage of as we live here in this world. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as this little child and feel your unworthiness, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is what? It is righteousness. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness. It's not meat and drink, like a lot of people in the world think, that it's for entertainment, it's just to have a good time, it's just for the satisfaction of the flesh, and it's for, you know, just a place for a show. It's not that. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of heaven. It's righteousness. It's the righteousness that God has given to us that we possess because the Holy Spirit has inwrought that righteousness within us. We have no righteousness of our own. Humanly and by human nature, we are dirty and deplorable and unworthy. And our righteousness is from Jesus Christ. We have a possessed righteousness that He has given us that we should use for His glory. That we should walk uprightly and godly in this present world. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness. The kingdom of heaven is power. or the power of God in his kingdom. The power that the Holy Spirit gives unto saints of God in the kingdom. There is a power that is in us that is greater than in this world. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The Lord that lives in us is greater. And certainly he should be at the forefront of our lives because he is first. He owns us. We're not our own. We are bought with a price. What price did it take? It took his own life. It took his precious blood. We are bought with that price of his precious blood and of his life. We're bought with the price of his life and his blood, and he owns us. We are not our own. We are bought with that price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. We serve God in our spirit. And this tabernacle is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This body where the Spirit dwells, where eternal life is, and where that we serve God in our spirit and our body. We use this tabernacle to serve God. And the church is the building of God. It's a house that God has built for his own glory, where that the Holy Spirit dwells, where that we learn more about Jesus, where we hear the gospel of our salvation, where we hear about our Lord and our Savior, that we would be better equipped to be better servants of God as we live and labor in his kingdom right now in this world. Those who take up their cross to follow the Lord, it's a place to labor. It's a place to work. It's not a place where you say, well, I've come in and I've done my duty or my responsibility and I'm just going to sit down now. It's not that way. It's to live and labor in all our journey here in this world. What is there to do? What is there to do? What God's given you to do is to serve him and labor and serve one another. That's our labor, to serve one another. And serving one another, we serve God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're laborers together with God. Paul says that we're laborers together with God. He wrote the church at Corinth. He says we're all laborers together. We are all one unit laboring together in one body. Many members, but one body laboring together with God. What does that mean? That God is assisting us in our labor. You see, we are dependent upon him in our laboring in the kingdom, laboring together with God. It's not a matter that we're going to do what we want, like a lot of people think, that we'll do our own thing, we'll just make our own laws, we'll make our own stipulations, we'll do what we want to do, and we'll call it church. Now, we got a lot of that going on in this day and time. We're going to do what we want, how we want it. We're going to disregard the scripture. We're going to call it church. We're going to make our own laws. And I believe that we have seen that recently, where that the Anglican church had ordained a priest that was a homosexual. And you know, there are people that actually commend that and approve of that. When the Bible is very clear, in the second chapter of the book of Romans, it talks about men burning with men, which is even not by nature. That's against nature. And women with women. Somebody says, it's nowhere in the Bible that that's spoken against. Well, they sure haven't read it. Or they've tore it out somewhere. Because it's all in God's Word. Why would God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if it was not a violation against human nature and against God? God destroyed two cities, burned them up because of their activity in that which is unnatural. So we can't make, we don't want to make our own laws. We want to do what God has set forth in His Word and put in His kingdom to do. Some says, well, you know, we're living in a new day and things change. Well, God doesn't change. His Word hasn't changed. His laws has not changed. His statutes has not changed. His kingdom has not changed. His church, if she's walking in the old paths, she has not changed. She still follows the pattern that was originally set when Jesus was upon this earth in person. People look upon Old Baptists and say, you are behind the times. You need to get up to date. Well, we are up to date according to God's Word because God's Word is up to date. When God inspired His Word and has given the Word to us, it is for all time until the end of time. We are to labor in His vineyard. This is God's vineyard. In the vineyard of my Lord, I love to live and labor. Oh, it is a blessing to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. You just think about all the joys that you've received in laboring in the vineyard. But at the end, the most important thing in my life and your life is God's approval. It is right now, but I'm talking about the end. I want to persevere to the end. I want to continue to the end. I want to leave this world in the house of God laboring. I want my penny. I want the approval of God. You want your penny. Doesn't matter when you come into the church. I've seen people old come into the church. Well, they missed out on a whole lot, but I'll tell you what, they received the same blessing that you did if you came in when you were young. They just missed out on a whole lot, you see. But they received their wage. I've seen people come into the church not live long, but oh, they enjoyed it. Those who came in early, we can't say, well, God, I deserve more because I've been here longer. I should be a little higher up. It's not that way in the church. It is way in the political world, you know. We're not on a campaign. How many politicians have you heard bragging on the other one? I ain't heard many, have you? They're always trying to dig up something on the other one so that they can get ahead of him. In the house of God, we're one unit. We're many members, but we are one unit. And we're all laboring for the same purpose, to bring honor and glory to God. God says unto these laborers that complained, He said, I told you I'd give you a penny. You get your penny. You agreed for a penny. He says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is it not lawful for Jesus Christ to do what He will with His own? He set the stipulations. He set the laws. He has the right to do so. He owns the house. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now what's he saying? Many be called, but few chosen. Is he talking about few chosen For eternal glory? No. He's not talking about the eternal choice here. He's talking about the few chosen. Out of the many that are called by his grace, there's only a few that's going to live and labor in the kingdom. Among all those that are called by God. You see, God's people can resist the gospel call. They can turn their hearts away from the gospel call, knowing all the while in their hearts what they need to do. But they can resist that. They can turn their heart away from it. We can harden our heart against the gospel call. We can cease to be laborers in the kingdom. We can't resist the effectual, the irresistible call that gives eternal life. But out of the many that God has called, his people, there are only a few that live and labor in the kingdom. I tell you what, to be an old Baptist, you got to have a thick hide and a soft heart. To be an old Baptist, you have to have strong conviction. There's multitudes of God's people out in this world. They would not want to be identified with us because they would not want to take the heat. They would not want to have the stigma put upon them to be a part of us. They'll live in heaven. They're just as redeemed as we are. They're just as much children of God as we are. And many of them are just in their hearts just as good and do just as good as far as their relationship with other people and all that the knowledge that they have of God. But they would not want to be identified with us. They would not want to humble themselves and come in and live and labor in the house of God. It takes conviction to be an old Baptist. To be a primitive Baptist, it takes being a hard shell. That's what it takes. You know what a hard shell is? A hard shell is someone that cannot be moved from the course that they have started in, and they hold tenaciously to the truth of Jesus Christ unto the end. The Apostle Paul gave the definition. He says, finally, my brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Here we have laboring. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. My labor's not in vain. You might say, well, I can't see the great results of my labor. But let me tell you this, as long as we do what God has said do, we'll just leave the results to Him. The main thing is to live in labor and leave the results to God. Be ye steadfast, and that means don't be moved. Be ye steadfast and unmovable. Not by every wind of doctrine that comes along. Don't be moved away. Don't get out of the path. Be ye steadfast. That means standing fast. Unmovable, always abounding. What is our blessing? Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the work that God's given us to do. The work of the Lord. Walking in the truth. Walking in His statutes. Living and laboring in His kingdom. And I'll tell you, a church that does that is a happy church, a healthy church, a wholesome church, and a church that is in one mind. The Scriptures teach us to be of one mind and one heart, and that is to serve God, serving one another. Serving God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. And I'll guarantee you that you'll go out of this world approved of God. I've stood over people that have been faithful to the church, and I've seen the peace in their life. I believe they've received their wage. Right, I'm talking about right here. Heaven is not a wage. It's an inheritance, but right here in this world, that they have the approval of God, and in their hearts, they can leave this world with peace because they've lived and labored and served the saints of God, and they have spent their lives in God's house, in His kingdom. And there is a reward, there is a wage that we receive in that right here in this world at the end of the day of our lives. The approval. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I know that all of us have our faults. I know that all of us stumble and fall from time to time. But I'm talking about the whole picture here. We are commanded by our Lord to be faithful. He's given us the kingdom, labor in the vineyard. And He's promised at the end of the day, you will be approved. And I'll show you that approval. Thank God that He's given us His kingdom to live and labor in. If you in your heart have that desire to take up your cross and follow Christ, say number 148, blessed service of love. Cast your bread upon the waters. Blessed are the saints who render faithful services of love to the Lord. Hear, little children, as they seek those things above, cast your bread upon the waters. Never asking it be praised. God has promised to return it to you after many days. Blessed are they who go preaching without Christ, but trusting God, teaching as did the apostles, walking in the paths they trod. Cast your bread upon the water, never asking if it that is certain shall be sent from hills and kin. Yes, your bread upon the waters, never asking it be paid. God has promised to return it to you after many days. They are favored who give free. How true that hymn is, that we reap that which we sow as we travel here in the kingdom of God. We thank the Lord for this day that He's blessed us with and given us, and be thankful that He's given us to be together and to see one another again. Do we have anything we need to mention or announce before dismissed? Anything? Yes, yeah, we mentioned to pray for Sister Elaine's brother. He died this week, and we want to continue to remember the family in prayer. Ask the Lord to supply their needs and comfort them with His love. Is there anything else or anyone else we need to mention? If not, as we look to the Lord and be dismissed, ask Brother Thomas if he would have dismissed us.
Heavenly Father, once again, I want to thank you for the many blessings that I feel blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this day. Pray, Heavenly Father, that we're thankful for the message that we've heard. And thank you, Lord, that we ought to continue to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. But I pray for this church, for each one, Lord, that goes to make up this body. Heavenly Father, go with us now through the further journey of our life. And be with each one that stands in need of thee, Lord. Forgive us of the many sins, our shortcomings in life. These favors and blessings we ask in Jesus' name for us' sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.